Tony, last time we talked to you, things were looking up in Montreal, and now the wheels have fallen off. What has changed?
Never a dull moment in Montreal, huh? Well, what's changed? The Canadiens had a week off. They beat Toronto in Toronto a couple of weeks ago. It was Carey Price's best game of the season. And then they had a week off, but they had lost a couple of games before that. In the last three or four before that, they were kind of like an up-and-down team, whereas the beginning of the season, like you talked about, they were a real red-hot team. And there were some things in their game that were kind of like straying off. And with a week off, Claude Julien said, all right, 1 week between games, I give you 3 days off. We're going to have, so we'll give you Sunday off, Monday off, practice Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll give you Thursday off as well. And Friday, practice again and prepare for the Leafs on Saturday night at home. They play that game versus Toronto. They lose by a score of 5-3. Toronto clearly the better team. The next night, they go into no game plan for us, lift them up for 4 points, or whatever game plan they had went out the window. It obviously didn't work. The next night, they go to Ottawa, and they get completely dominated in the third period, even though Corey Perry scored a goal for the Canadiens. They go to overtime. It looks like they have absolutely no idea in the world how to play three-on-three hockey. If it wasn't for Jake Allen, Ottawa would have had like 3 or 4 goals in the overtime alone. And they lose. So then they say, okay, we're going to regroup. We're going to bounce back. And they had the Senators again last night. Their structure was out the window. They gave up a ton of shots. They gave up a ton of scoring chances. The structure was up. They made a ton of mistakes. They gave away the puck. So you add that up with, you know, last year the Canadiens had 2 times they lost 8 games in a row. Once they lost 5 in a row. Once they lost 3 in a row. I think Bergevin was starting to see some things in the last week or so that he saw last year on a couple of occasions. Didn't like that. Needed to stop the bleeding before it would hemorrhage, because in a 56-game season, if you lose 8 in a row, you're probably not going to make the playoffs. And if I can add something else to that, is that there's a bunch of guys unhappy playing in a contract year, not performing, so they know they're not going to get the money they wanted. Thomas Tatar, healthy scratch, benched. Phil Deneau, 0 goals all season. Jesperi Kotkaniemi is supposed to take 2 steps forward. He hasn't even taken half a step forward, I don't think, anyway. Carey Price, maybe one excellent game all season, one very good. The rest, average to terrible. So add it all up, and that's the decision that was taken.
Now, the Habs' power play for years has sucked. It started out okay, but now it's gone back to normal. How much of that is on the coach? How much is on the players?
Well, listen, it was Kirk Muller's, who was the associate coach. It was his responsibility. I guess you could say that ultimately Claude Julien has the final say. I don't think the Montreal Canadiens had as bad a personnel to finish as bad as they did on the power play for the last several seasons. When you have Jonathan Drouin, who was, I thought, fantastic on the power play when he was with Tampa. Yes, he played with superior talent, I get it. You got a guy who's probably got one of the 3 hardest shots in hockey when he gets his tape on it. I thought the Canadiens personnel should have produced better power play results. So, do they have their share of blame? Yeah, players always have their share of blame. At the end of the day, they have to go out and produce. But look, God love Kirk, and it's tough to say a bad word because Kirk's just such a really good guy, and Captain Kirk, and such a great history with the Canadiens, and former Stanley Cup champion. But that power play has been so predictable, so stagnant. I haven't seen a power play where the players don't move like this one. It's been awful. And ultimately, you know, like a lot of people in Montreal were wondering how Kirk lasted as associate coach as long as he lasted. I mean, Jason Gregor, you or Tony Marinaro run that power play, and that's the way it looks, and that's the results that it produces. at the end of the year, we're gone. We might even be fired halfway into the season. So, no, it's, look, they have their share of responsibility. You can debate whether or not maybe Claude should have been fired, because 22 points in 18 games, that looks pretty good on paper. He's a former Stanley Cup winning coach, but I say this, I like Claude as a coach. When Claude would put on his defensive players, when the Canadians were going up against the Toronto Maple Leafs, even if I didn't like it, I kind of understood it. You know, putting offensive players against them would probably be a losing proposition. But last night was the icing on the cake. I mean, you're playing the Ottawa Senators, and you could say whatever you want. I mean, statistically, they are the worst team in hockey, probably even on paper. And, you know, Ben Chiarot's on the ice, and you know, like, you don't have the courage to go three forwards versus the Ottawa Senators on three-on-three overtime. You don't have the courage to put an offensive player like Kotkaniemi. You got Phil Deneau on the ice, who's a checking forward, who's got zero goals all season. I mean, you're scared of the Ottawa Senators? I mean, the last time I checked, they're not the Soviet Union. There's no Krutov, Larionov, and Makarov there. I'll tell you that right now.
Tony Marinaro joins us from TSN 690. Tony, here's what I'm going to say about the Habs power play.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the reason it doesn't work. Because the NHL power plays do not work with high shot volume from the blue line. They just don't. And you look at Montreal, Petrie 16 shots, Weber 11, Toffoli's the only forward with more than 10, and then Kotkaniemi's actually got 8, but he's on the second power play unit. So, like, Nick Suzuki's got 5 shots on your first unit. Like, to me, whoever takes over their power play, if they think it's going to be successful with two defensemen who shoot as often as they do, it's not going to work.
Yeah, there's way too many guys getting in front of their shots, and they're stopping them, and once again, it's they have to find the right recipe. Clearly, it hasn't worked, and you know, I just think there's a hole, and I want to sway off the power play for a second here. There's this whole mentality of, and I could be wrong on this, but I feel deep down inside, this is what I think, is that for me, Claude Julien, in that situation, it reminds me a lot of Mike Babcock. A guy who won the Stanley Cup before Julien won it back in 2011, 10 years ago. And the game changed, and he tweaked a little bit and always reverted back to his old ways if there was ever any doubt. And I think, you know, you take a look at what happened with Toronto. Ever since the Leafs replaced Mike Babcock with Sheldon Keith, I think the Leafs got better. It's a new way of thinking. It's forward thinking. It's more offensive minded, more offensive oriented. It's more new school. You take a look at Cassidy when he took over for Claude Julien in Boston. You know, Claude's last couple of years there were tough. And here's the kicker, though, Jason. Think about this, okay? The Canadiens fire Michel Therrien. They bring in Claude Julien. Obviously, you know, you're bringing him in, everyone's thinking it's an upgrade, it's going to be better, yada, 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 all that stuff. If it wasn't for COVID last year, the Canadiens don't make the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs for 3 of the previous 4 seasons. They didn't make the playoffs, or wouldn't have made the playoffs had it not been for last year with the COVID, for 4 of the last 5. Claude Julien results were not good. His results were not good. Michel Therrien got more out of the Montreal Canadiens than Claude Julien. And I feel bad to kick a guy when he's down, because I got to tell you, this is a class gentleman, Claude Julien. This is a class guy, treats people well. I've seen the way he talks to people, and I know some of the things that he said to people, even one-on-one. We're talking about a real class person. But Claude wasn't willing to adjust to today's athletes and today's game. And, you know, I kind of look at Jose Mourinho in soccer, for those who follow. Here's a guy who had won a Champions League back in 2010 and another one before that. and he's had his share of success since then. But the game has changed, and he's got more of a defend and counter mentality. And that's not working nowadays in professional sports. And whether it's soccer or hockey or even you need possession of the ball, you need possession of the puck, and you need to attack. The game is so fast. The players are so fit. They're so much better. You need to attack. And the Canadians had this defend and counter mentality, which I think is it's not very effective in today's game anymore.
Tony Marinaro joins us now. Tony, when we spoke last, you thought, hey, this Habs team is pretty deep.
Yeah.
You still feel that way? And how is Ducharme going to get the depth to play to their potential?
So, look, I take a look at the team last year that beat Pittsburgh in the play-in and fought Philadelphia pretty hard, okay? So this team, compared to that team, added Josh Anderson, preeminent power forward, Tyler Toffoli, big-time goal scorer, Corey Perry, tons of experience, Joel Edmondson, good second-pairing guy, Jake Allen, a 1B, who's been Montreal's number 1A, all right? And it's hard to not like them in that respect because they definitely improve their team from the team in the playoffs. Having said that, when you go through difficult times, as some of those warts start to come out. And the warts that we've seen here in the last little while are lack of mobility on defense, no true number one centerman, lack of experience at the center ice position, difficulty in the face-off circle, and a number one goalie who's playing like a number three. Those are their problems right now.
Now, what's up with Carey Price?
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm not going to hold back anymore, and I know everyone loves to this and that and whatever and all that stuff, and I'm not everyone, all right? So for all those who want to, you know, Carey's the best in the world and this and that, please, let's put an end to it. Carey Price is no longer the best in the world. You want to know when he's the best in the world? He's the best in the world when he plays like the best in the world. When you have a show, Jason, that you're at your absolute best, you're the best in the world. And when I have a show, when I'm at my absolute best and the best in the world, but being the best in the world, you have to do it every single day. And you know, Carey Price is no longer the best in the world. I don't know how else to say it. How can there be 40 to 55 goalies in the league that have a better goals against average than you, have a better save percentage than you, have won as so few playoff rounds as you, be as inconsistent as you, and throw out the term best goalie in the league. Best goalie in the league when he won those four individual awards 5 years ago or 6 years ago? I'm losing track of, I don't even know when it was anymore. Was he the best goalie in the league then? Yes. Was he excellent when he won gold with Canada at the Olympics? Yes. That was a long time ago. Jake Allen was acquired by the Montreal Canadiens, came to a new city, a new coach, new coaching staff, new goalie coach, new players, new teammates, new culture, new system, new division, new everything. He has been so much better than Carey Price. They don't even belong in the same. And I'm not saying that Jake Allen is the number one with the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, it's small sample size. I'm telling you, he's been a lot better than Carey Price. That's a fact. And last night, the Canadiens should have started Jake Allen because Jake Allen was very, very good on Sunday night in Ottawa. And Claude Julien didn't start him because you don't want to have a goalie controversy in Montreal, this, that, whatever, and all that stuff. You know, I don't know if the Canadians don't want to, if people don't want to hear about this because they're worried about Carey Price's trade value. I'm going to tell you something right now. Carey Price doesn't have trade value right now. So anyone who's worried about his trade value, forget about it. You want to know why? Because that contract is an albatross. And there is no way they're going to be able to trade that player with that contract unless they do something extremely significant. And I don't even know if trading a first-round pick with it, that won't even work. I don't even know if trading a big-time prospect with him is even going to work. I get the feeling they're going to have to swallow probably up to half of that contract if they ever wanted to do anything. Now, he's got a no movement. It's probably no even use, no use even talking about it. But right now, that's killing them. They have $10.5 million tied into a goalie who's playing like a number three. $10.5 million. Could you imagine if Connor McDavid, at $12.5 million that he's played, plays a good game every five games?
No, that's not good.
So when Price plays like a star, he's a star. But he doesn't play like a star often enough. And in the last 10 years, I have never seen a player who has been given a star label by his teammates or his GM or his coach or his opponents be as inconsistent as Carey Price. I mean, last night he made three fantastic saves, and he gave up three really bad goals. And the apologists come out and they say, well, but if it wasn't for him, he made three fantastic saves. He's paid $10.5 million on the cap. He's the highest paid goalie in hockey. He's making $13 million U.S. in salary this year. And for the last couple of seasons, he made $15 million U.S. He was the highest paid player in the National Hockey League, along with Connor McDavid. I would hope so. He's going to make three excellent saves in a game. That doesn't justify giving up three terrible goals, does it? At the wrong time, they get to the shootout. Matt Murray, on the other end, gives you no net. This guy gives you like three quarters of the net. I mean, did the Senators beat him so easily in two of those three shootout shots last night? It's like he wasn't even there. The three pucks in the game, two from Tkachuk and one from Branson, went right through him. I don't know how many players have scored their first goal in the National Hockey League this season. They played Toronto. Hall and Dermott both scored their first goals of the season on him. Branstrom yesterday. I've had enough. Like, I'm willing to throw him his flowers when he plays like the goalie he's capable of playing of. But he hasn't in a long time. And I'm not going to close my eyes anymore and all this Carey Price is best player in the world stuff, and he even voted by the players in The Athletic last year. And, you know, it's all on reputation. That's a long time ago. I don't see it anymore, Jason. He's let down a lot of coaches. Look, Guy Carbonneau was going to get fired eventually, and so was Jacques Martin. And so was Michel Therrien, and so was Paul Julien. It was going to happen eventually. But all their firings happened when Carey Price was playing really, really bad hockey. Plain and simple. He was playing bad hockey. And they went to Rolly Melanson as a goalie coach and Pierre Grew as a goalie coach. And now they have Stefan Waite. And it can't be Waite's problem. It can't be Waite's fault because look how great Allen's doing. Carey Price has to be better. He can be so much better. You know, here's the beauty of sports, and I'll end it with this on Price, is that he still has a chance to turn it around. But wake up, man. Wake up. He looks like he's in outer space sometimes. On those goals, I don't know what was he was focusing on. I have no idea what he was with. But he looked like he was in outer space.
Tony, I love it, buddy. We appreciate it. We will talk to you again soon. As you say, there's ever-ending storylines in Montreal. We appreciate your time.
All the best to Dominic Ducharme and his staff, and all the best to Claude Julien and Kirk Muller. Cheers.